again, great to see you, and I hope you're having a wonderful long weekend. Great time to relax, spend time with family, and to celebrate Jesus. Awesome. So, have you heard the news? It's all happening around the world, being announced afresh that Jesus lives. Woo! Jesus lives. Amen. I like the amens. Thanks, Richard. Yes, it's going around. And it's a time when we recognise that God's love has been poured out for us. And we're reminded in 1 John, the next slide, about what real love is. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So this time of year, churches all around the world are celebrating this, and we obviously get to celebrate it every day of our lives, which is fantastic. And today highlights the key difference about the Christian faith as opposed to other world religions. And Jesus is different to all the other world religion leaders. They all lived, then died, but Jesus died and then lives. So how wonderful is that? And Jesus predicted his own death, and he knew what was happening when he was walking the earth. In Matthew 17, he said, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And it's he willingly did that because of his great love for us. And Scripture makes it very clear that no one took his life, but that Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. In John 10:17, "The reason my Father loves me," Jesus said, "is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." So today it would be wonderful to recount again the story of the resurrection. So can I have Lucy and Zedekiah to come up? Let's give them a warm welcome as they read that to us today. And that's going to be on the slides as well. So we'll have the first one. Thanks, Richard. Zedekiah starts us off.
You go. I'll hold that for you.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified."
Yeah. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, "Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead." And I forgot where I was reading. "And is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Fantastic. What a great account of what happened. That's fantastic. Jesus bore all our sin and paid for all our sin on the cross for all time, once and for all. Never has to happen again. And Jesus shed his blood so that we have forgiveness of our sins and our consciences have been made clean. Jesus died and then he rose again, like Lucy said, 3 days later to life. So Jesus not only conquered sin and the power of sin, but also he conquered our enemy of death. And we're reminded too from scripture that Jesus was the first to go through all of this that we might follow. In Romans 8:29 it reads, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So as Jesus rose again to new life and to live life eternal, we too, as we put our faith in him, have life eternal. So as we put our faith in all that he's done on the cross and all that we're celebrating today in his resurrection, we too now know that power and freedom from sin, and we no longer need to fear death. We too live forever, which is so amazing. And as Angus said, you know, just as we contemplate how awesome and big Jesus is and what he's done for us, it's just so mind-blowing and wonderful. Even though our flesh may die one day, our true selves will live on because all of what Jesus has done and what we're celebrating specifically today. And just our next slide, 1 Peter 1:3, I love this. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his great mercy. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Can we say hallelujah to that? Hallelujah. Good. Well, let's keep saying hallelujah. Can I invite you to stand? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're just going to have a little bit of a responsive reading. So if you stand, we're just going to do this and then go into worship. And you can read after it says all. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
He has defeated the powers of death.
Hallelujah.
Jesus turns our sorrow into dancing.
Hallelujah.
He has the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. We're going to do something that sometimes we neglect when we come together, that is to be proactively praying and proactively posturing ourselves to listen to God. And too often, most of the time we come, you know, the preacher preach is not a dialogue, it's a monologue. So what we're going to do, or what I'm going to do to help you guide, we're going to do P-R-A-Y. P, pause to pray. It's just being still and know that he's God. You know, allowing our scattered senses to be still and listen and know that he's God. That's for P. R is to reflect. We're going to reflect on the scripture. We're going to reflect on the worship. And we're going to reflect on our own life. So we're going to pause to reflect, to review our life. And hopefully when we review our life and we're still enough, we get fresh revelation from God to light. Who's God again? Where we're at. Then we got A, we ask God. We ask God, like, not sure where my life is. I'm still not sure why I'm struggling. I'm still not sure what I'm doing with my success. So we ask God for ourselves, but we also ask God for others. We might see others like struggling, you know, in grief, still not sure whether Jesus is Lord or not. So we ask God. And the last one is why. Why is for yielding. You know, at the end, we kind of like, God is God, I'm not. I'm going to yield to his ways. We're going to yield to his words. All right. So I'm going to be here, not leading the worship, but I'm just going to guide as a song and then read out some scripture. your presence. So we come to you, Lord. As we pause to pray, as we pause to be still, to collect all our scattered senses so that we can focus. Would you help us reflect on the scripture? So we're going to have like three scripture. The scripture is in a way a journey of Paul. And Paul wrote it kind of three times in three different versions. And the first one is from Galatians. He was kind of still starting out in his ministry. Then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. And then finally Philippians, just before he died. In a way, it's his understanding of Christ fully submitted to the Father. You know, he always say, you know, I come to do the Father's will. And then ultimately, as we reflect on his life and crucifixion, he cried out, not my will, but your will be done. And then ultimately serving sacrificial suffering on the cross. As Maurice reminds us, nobody took his life, not even the Father. He gave it up. So we're going to pause and reflect on this scripture. How do you live your life? How do you live your life? Review your life and hopefully get a fresh revelation of where you're at in life. And then ask God. Maybe ask God for someone else. And then yield to God. What do you think God is saying to you? So Paul writes, I have been co-crucified with Christ. I'm dead on the cross. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, my Savior, the Anointed One, lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Gave himself up for me. In my own life, sometimes it's hard to give up my sorrow. Life is full of sorrow and success. Even that, we need to submit that to God. So resurrected Jesus Christ, I willingly call to mind my own grief, the grief of a loved one, or the grief of a people group. I boldly ask for hope that somehow against all odds, you will turn weeping to dancing. Morning to joy. In your own heart, why don't you ask God for what is prompting in your heart to should be one more before that, Zedekiah. It's 2 Corinthians. Is there one more? 2 Corinthians. All right, I'll read up. To Corinthians 5:14-15, it says, "For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly." Some versions sort of say, "It is Christ's love that constrains us or controls us." Because we are convinced that He has given His life for all of us. This means all died with Him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us and now lives again. I find another version that is easier to comprehend. Oh yeah, okay, thank you. So this is halfway through Paul's journey. So he writes, "For the love of Christ constrain, control us." The constraint is like two banks of the river. So two banks of the river allowing the river to go through. So some say it might be restrictive, but the constraint is allowing that flow to be directed. And that flow is going where God wants. So it's not out of the bank, all right? And if you can imagine like the rain the last few days, that constraint actually forces the love to go where God wants and go very fast because it's sort of not spread out. So this is about the resurrection. That one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves. I like this "they" thing, all right? We Western world like to think me, I, and myself. But they, who are they? So the flow is not just ourselves. The flow is flowing with, you know, the fellowship, the people of God, that God calls you to go on that stream. That they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. No resurrection, no hope. But because of the resurrection, we have life in Christ. And because we have life in Christ, the life, the love, the light needs to flow out. The living well need to be a living stream of rivers. But they, are you in the flow with someone, with a group, or are you out of the bank now? And it's important to reflect that there's young people, there's old people. You know, young people, you kind of like, I got so many choices. Why should I go with the flow of God? You know, I got so many options. Can I not try that out? And then you got the other hand, those like me, you know, semi-retired. I've done the hard work, man. My son grew up, right? He paid his school fees. Now I'm free, you know? I can do what I want. Or is it a case, you know, at 61, I like suddenly picking in my ministry? I don't know. But wherever is that, it's good to evaluate. So let's pause where your life is. Are you in the flow of Christ's life, or you've decided, you know, like say, volume is in proportion to the pressure, or self is in proportion to the spirit? chat with God, what do you think? So pause and be still and review your life. Resurrected Jesus Christ, I come before you. For those who have not encountered your resurrection love, asking that even now you would appear and appeal to them in a way that they can recognize and receive the hope that is in you, that all who are lost may be found. Let's try the last scripture and then we'll close with communion. So for those who are new here, we have communion every Sunday. The communion we have is an open table. As far as known in the scripture, it was not instructed that communion is only close to certain people, or communion need to be done by holy someone with a collar or something. Communion is always relational because Jesus came as a relational God to show us with the Father. So that's why we have an open table. So again, this scripture is not clear, but I'll read it up. So this is Paul now at the end of his life, and he's in prison. And so, in a way, he got lots of time to reflect, you know, whether he's done well or not, you know. So this is Philippians 1:20, all right? So Philippians 1:1, start off with, I am the slave of Jesus Christ. Philippians 6 say, he who begins in a good work will bring it to completion. So you know he started in Christ, and he knows he's going to finish well with Christ. But what about in between? So he was reflecting his life in between, and so he says in verse 20, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything. That's a tough one for me, because I am ashamed with lots of things. Things that I've said, things that I acted out, and it doesn't reflect good on being a witness of Christ. So my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether life or dead. Is Christ highly honored in your body, in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, and in your strength, in your life, whether by life or by death? And Paul say, and I pray that we will all say the same too, for me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. So let's pause again and reflect on that scripture. Where are you at? Are you living for yourself? There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Or are you living for Christ? Risen Jesus Christ, I invite you now to appeal to me in face of my doubt, disillusionment, disappointment, guilt, and shame. To strengthen me where I'm weak and give me resurrection hope where my hope has died. So when you're ready, just go to the street station, just help yourself to the communion. So the communion is always about remembering the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And part of the remembrance is he is coming back. What is he coming back for? Are you ready? I say it's not a pressure, it's not a condemnation, it's just a reality that constantly Jesus reminds us to remember he is coming back. There's a timeline, there's an expiry date on the earth, and we all have to stand before the judgment day. And like, I don't know, I got 70 years, 50 years I live for myself, and then 20 years I did go to church. Alright. No condemnation, alright. It's all about covenant of grace and peace, and Jesus loves us. So when you're ready, there's a communion behind. Just take the bicky and the wine and do business with Jesus. And then at the end, if you can hang around, we're just gonna have a prayer together. You know, like I say, part of the prayer is ask. You ask for yourself, and you might like, I'm going to ask and bless someone else. All right. And we're going to maybe sing the last song. Oh, you're on your own. Okay. Yeah. If you're ready, please. There's some in the back, some in the front.